It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. As you know, it's Wednesday, and each and every Wednesday we have Steve Post on. He's going to be joining us here in just a little bit. You know, it's funny. I was listening to Sirius Satellite Radio this morning, XM Sirius Satellite Radio, and they were in the big topic of Noah Gragson and his debacle at Road America. And I kind of want to start off the show talking about that a little bit with Austin. Austin, what do you think of Noah Gragson? Do you think he's just an ironhead? Do you think he's a troublemaker? Where would you put Noah Gragson in a category of what you think of him? What would you think of him? You're probably not a big fan of the hothead guy, right?
You know, I mean, we all need someone like that. We all can't be perfect, right? We can't be the stereotypical, you know, perfect driver. But, you know, I kind of put him in the same category as Ty Gibbs. You know, they're pretty well alike. You know, it's, you know, Noah's not going to back down from anybody. You know, you could kind of, you know, relate him back to Earnhardt. I wouldn't say he's just like him, but you can.
No, he's
he
not.
Has similarities with him, but. Yeah, he's just not going to, you know, really put up with anything or take anything from anybody. But, you know, there's times where he's right to be that way, and there's times where he's in the wrong. And,
right.
You know, I think Road America, he was, you know, in the right for a point, but what his actions to that was a little uncalled for. I think he could have done it a little different, but, you know, Noah doesn't know any better. You know, it's, you know, Noah's a smart guy sometimes,
right.
But you know, I think sometimes when he's in the moment, it's, all that kind of goes out the window, and it's just off of reaction and emotion.
I think the real problem with what most people are having is that he hooked him down going down a straightaway. And you know, and I know, there's kind of an unwritten rule that you don't hook people going down the straightaway and turn them into a wall or whatnot. And to be honest with you, I've had that happen to me. I had it happen to me at Memphis Motorsports Park back in the day. When I was running a USST truck, Ron Hartford hooked me going down the back straightaway, a three-quarter-mile track. And let me tell you something. That wreck really hurt, and it hurt bad. But the bad thing about this wreck, I think more than anything, is the amount of cars that were involved in this accident, right? They took out 13 different cars in this wreck.
And they sent someone to the hospital as a result of it. And as a driver, and every driver will tell you this, if you're going to retaliate on somebody and show your displeasure with them, do not take yourself out in the process.
I did,
Noah,
that.
You failed, dude. Yeah, just flat. And I'll back the video up here. We're watching it. And his execution of it, it was very poor. And, you know, he's been in situations like this, and where he's you know, decided to retaliate on somebody, and he's done well. And I don't.
He was too far up on him when he hit him, wasn't he?
Well, he didn't really take himself out. He just drove away. But he almost just wiped himself out. But, I mean, yeah, he should have waited a little bit to do that. But
yeah. I don't know. And we do need somebody like this, don't we? Austin, doesn't NASCAR need somebody? Is Joey Logano the guy that has been the ironhead guy since Earnhardt's been gone? Who would you categorize as the guy that is the ironhead of all the ironheads out there? Would you say Noah or would you say Joey? Now, granted, Noah's only run 9 cup races, right?
You know, I think we're probably missing a big one. You know, he might be retired now, but, you know, Tony Stewart was the same way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
sure.
Tony didn't put up with anything, and you know, I think. You know, I think as Joey's kind of gotten older, you know, that side of him's kind of faded a little bit.
Right.
He's kind of matured a little bit. We did see him kind of get into, you know, William Byron at Darlington, but he did it the right way. You know,
right.
He just moved William, and he didn't crash him and take himself out of a shot to win. But, yeah, I don't know. I think you could probably say, I don't know who you could say right now would be that style. I think Ross Chastain and the Cup Series would be a good candidate for it. But since Dale, I would say probably Tony Stewart would be the one we would have to go and follow.
Yeah, as you can see, the one driver there that got out of the 68 car, and I don't know his name.
Brandon Brown.
I think he got racked, and it got the wind knocked out of him. Because he got up eventually and walked around a little bit. But
yeah, he took one of the hardest hits. That was a tough hit. I think he hit Sage, like, right in the right side door when he backed up across the track.
Yeah. Is there... Let me ask you this, Austin, because, I really appreciate your opinion. Because in this area, we think a little bit different, right? I was a guy that wasn't afraid to put a bumper to somebody. You're not that kind of guy. You're just a good, talented driver, and you just make sure that you don't try to do stupid things out on the racetrack. That's just you. That's just the way you are, right? But does motorsports need people like this? Do we need? I always say this about Aaron Reitzel, right? Aaron Reitzel is a heel, and he embraces that as well. Do we need heels at every level of racing, at the local tracks, at the big tracks? Do we need those kind of people?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only reason why I say that is if everybody likes you, it's not going to be very exciting.
Right.
You got to have a certain amount of people that don't like you and you don't get along with, and it creates drama. And what do we like to see? We like to see drama. We like to see controversy. We like to see drivers not like each other.
Right.
It's like, who was it that Dale Earnhardt, got into it back with in the day? Was it Jeff Bodine, I think it was?
It was.
Look at that.
They hated each other.
That became a movie.
Yeah.
And we need people like that. And, I think, it's a vital part of keeping motorsports alive.
Yeah. But how far does a guy take it? That's the question here. It becomes a problem when you start taking out other cars with you. Like, taking out 13 cars with you, that cost a lot of teams, and probably a lot of teams that were at the back of the field that probably don't have the budget to replace a car very often, right?
Yes. At some point, it has to become policed. I think Noah's had incidents with people here in the past couple of years of him in the Xfinity series, and those incidents have kind of went under the radar of NASCAR. And I think this might be the one that NASCAR sets him down and has a talk with him, because we have no problem with taking that guy out, maybe an unfortunate car that's victim to that circumstance getting taken out, but. It's North America is one of the narrowest road courses they go to.
32 feet wide.
Yeah, my shop's wider than that, and that's not very wide.
Yeah.
And what he did was not very smart, and you're putting people in risk of danger and risk of hurting them. And so, I definitely think this is an opportunity for NASCAR to sit down and talk to Noah and kind of get him under control, but don't lose the fire that he has of being Noah Gragson.
Typically they levy the fines by Tuesday. Here it is Wednesday, and we haven't heard any fine. I don't think NASCAR is going to do anything about it, to be honest with you. I know that Kirk was listening to the interview, and he thought that Noah indicated that he's still going to get a fine out of this thing. But I don't think it's going to happen if it hadn't happened by Tuesday.
Well, don't forget that Monday was a holiday, too. So,
oh, that's true.
I mean, today is technically
a Tuesday. Today could be the day, right.
He's kind of, it's gone, like you said, it's kind of gone a couple of days and hasn't had anything. And, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see something come to Noah before, next week at the race.
Right. Steve said, Wayne Johnson pulled an Aaron Reitzel on Tim Crawley at Waukini the other night. Flat out took him out in turn four.
That was actually Boone County on Friday. But, yes,
it was Boone County. That's where he totaled his car, right?
No, Wayne got crashed at Waukini on Sunday. But when his incident with him and Tim Crawley was Friday night. And, It was the camera almost missed it, but Wayne went on one of those just Hail Mary slide jobs, and Tim was just a victim to it, and he fed Tim Crowley one of the hardest right rears, you know, I've seen in a while, and how it Tim didn't flip or whatever, it just, you know, knocked him over the cushion and he spun, but yeah, he got pretty lucky that didn't end, you know, worse for him.
Was that on Saturday night?
That was Friday night.
Friday night.
Boone County in Nebraska.
I don't know why I can't remember that incident happening.
I'll try and find the video of it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to see that because, you know, there's one guy you might not want to mess with, Tim Crowley. He might knock the crap out of you. He's pretty tough, rugged dude, man. If you're going to throw a right rear at somebody, it might not be the best idea to throw it at Tim Crowley because he will get up in your grill. Pete says, Joe Gibbs Racing has made changes to the pit crews of Christopher Bell and Bubba Wallace. I heard that. I was reading that this morning. I'm not exactly sure what the changes were. Let me go back here. They are changing. Head of Atlanta Motor Speedway, JGR, has moved front tire changer and tire carrier to Wallace's number 23 from Bell's number 20 Toyota. So they're just kind of swapping out some guys. You know, I don't like when people do that. I think that you need to build a chemistry between your group. And I've never been a big fan of taking crew members from one team and put them on another. Is anybody else with me on that? Frog, what do you think about that? I just don't think that it's a good idea. So anyway, sad news about I-77. Don't need more tracks closing. Rough. I've got this feeling here, Caleb. To be honest with you, I think we're going to see more racetracks close in the next year. Are you with me on that one, Austin? The tracks haven't recovered from the pandemic, right? When you go out to a racetrack, Austin, when you go to a racetrack now, a racetrack that you've been to a lot in the past, do you see the same amount of fans that you once saw at the racetrack? Like if you go out to Lakeside Speedway, do you see the same amount of fans out at Lakeside every week, do you think, from years past?
I say no. I haven't been out there for a couple of years. Since I stopped racing there full time, I don't go anymore unless I'm racing there.
Right. You raced a little bit there this year though.
Yeah, besides that. Mm-hmm. But there was like opening night had a really good crowd this year, and then you know, it's been an average crowd, but you know, since I'm gonna say the 2010, 11, 12, 13 range,
yeah,
the crowds in general have been dying, so or dying down from what it used to be. I remember going there when I was a young kid and it's packed every night. So you know, I think some tracks, you know, some smaller ones, mm-hmm, yes, they'll go, but still, I mean, there was times where we weren't racing in 2020 and all we had was streaming, and then when the races or tracks finally opened back up, you know, we had packed crowds for a while. So
right,
you know, I think that high is starting to slow down. But yeah, I think definitely some of these, like, you know, little, you know, middle of the woods tracks, you'll see them close. But you know, your mainstay are they're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you on that. How about the news of Zeb Weiss going to the Rudine number 26? We kind of I read that somewhere that might happen. What do you think about that move there?
Not surprised.
You think Wayne Pretty's going to go over there with him?
I think so. And
yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of odd to see a competitor, you know, against Corey Eliason jump into his backup car and outrun him at Skagit, at Dirt Cup. And I think that was just pretty much a test to Kevin Rudine's, you know, like a little experiment. So, you know, Kevin invests a lot of money in sprint car racing. He wants to win and succeed and be the best sprint car team on the All-Star Tour. And he really hasn't had that this year and at the end of last year. And, you know, I think if Zeb went up there and outran Corey, it was time to make a move and you know, try and get your team back to what it should be. And I think, you know, bringing, you know, Wayne and Zeb to the team will really, you know, be a benefit and maybe make them a contender for the championship this year.
Yeah. Who would you have picked as a driver to put into that car? Would you have picked Zeb? Would he have been your obvious pick, or would there have been somebody else?
I think Zeb was a good pick.
I do too.
You know, Zeb has a good team, and they have a good backing for what they're doing.
And he's been rolling pretty good lately.
Yes, but yeah. Now you're going to go to Kevin Rudine, who has pretty much an unlimited budget. I mean, the guy is loaded.
Right.
He's done well in life, and he's now enjoying, you know, owning race cars and all that. But he is providing – anybody that drives for him is getting provided a great opportunity to succeed. And I think – you know, I think he's the best one. He could be in the seat for a while. He's, you know, still a young kid and all that. And I definitely think that, you know, he'll be in that seat for a couple of years now.
Well, hopefully he's in that seat for a couple of years, because you know what? Again, it's back to that theory I was talking about yesterday on the show. You got to give somebody a little bit of a chance. You can't just throw them in there and see what they do for a month.
No, I think it's every bit of 2 to 3 years. Is if you're not performing at the end of year two, year three, it's time to do something different. But I could see him maybe being there for, you know, surpassing that time, and maybe, you know, he shows enough potential and success that they decide to go, you know, outlaw racing,
right,
with him.
Yeah, well,
it's always a possibility.
But we know that Zeb has been – listen, I think the combination of Wayne Pretty and Zeb Wise has been a excellent combination. How about yourself? You feel like that there's good chemistry right there?
Yeah, because if you go back and look at their first full-time year together on the All-Star Tour last year, and he's picked up a handful of wins and was fast, you know, the nights that he didn't win. Mm-hmm. And besides, you know, the races that he had bad luck and, you know, got tore up or upside down, you know, they were, you know, one of the top five best cars on the tour. So, and to take a kid from racing, you know, USAC midgets and sprint cars with Clausen Marshall Racing to
right,
the All-Star Tour. Yes, he ran with Sam McGee the year prior to getting teamed up with Wayne, but he wasn't really good that year. He had some good runs, but, you know, kind of, you know, struggling making that transition. And to go in there year two and do what he did was incredible.
Right.
So I definitely think that, you know, he has what it takes to do well.
Tonight, the All-Stars have the Don Martin Memorial Silver Cup at Lernerville tonight, and somebody was just posting up there that they thought that Kyle Larson was going to be running there tonight. What do you think about tonight's Lernerville race? Who's the favorite going in right now? Is it Sheldon?
That's an All-Star race. It used to be an outlaw race. Now it's an all-star race.
Oh,
so
that's right. It is. It was a World of Outlaw race, wasn't it, before?
For a while. But, you know, if Brent Marks makes a trip over there, I definitely think he's going to be one to contend with.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Zeb does with the 26 car. I think he'll be all right. Hunter Schoenberg might be, you know, maybe an underdog on this deal. He had a couple wins at – I think he might have won it at Lernerville this year. I think it was with the All-Stars, actually. So, and he's kind of one of those cars that just kind of rides around in the top five. He gets talked about a little bit, but he's kind of, you know, flies under the radar for a while. So, I would not be surprised to see, you know, Hunter Schoenberg maybe contending for a win tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. Right now, I'm looking at the points. Tyler Courtney's in the lead with the All-Stars right now. Justin Peck is second. And I said this a little bit earlier before we went on the air, that I am shocked that Parker Price Miller has done so well this year. He's currently third in the points. Are you surprised at the success that he's had, the beans that he had to go through all that treatment at the same time and he was racing at the same time? Are you a little – I'm overly impressed by Parker Price Miller right now. How about yourself?
I think you have to be.
Yeah.
You know, chemo and that treatment is not easy.
Yeah,
and it wears and tears on, and you have to be in really good shape to be, you know, competitive and good in sprint car racing. They're not easy
right
to drive. It's one of the most physically demanding cars to drive, and to see him still carry that strength and that motivation and drive to want to succeed through all that is really incredible. And I think that, you know, him still wanting to be one of the best and continue his career and life in sprint car racing is the reason why he got through it so well and is still continued to do well with it.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of, like we talked about this a while ago, it put, you know, racing and life into perspective for him. You know, it's you know, how fast things could have been taken away from them, and
that's true.
And how much, how easy it could be lost. So, you know, I think, you know, he's you know, doing well and surprising us, but you know, in the back of the head, back of your mind, you always knew that's what he was capable of.
You know, going through those treatments had to drive Parker Price Miller, don't you think? It had to be his motivation to prove to everybody that, hey, man, I'm not giving up. I'm not a quitter. I think there's a big message involved with what he's doing right now.
No, for sure. I think, yeah. You know, he hasn't had, you know, the wins that he probably wants this year, but, you know, he went to Houston and had a really good car. He ran in the top five a couple nights and, right. and was contending for wins. And I mean, that's a tough deal to do with the Outlaws. So, yeah, I think that was right. You're right. It was definitely a motivation and drive to get through it and show people that, you know, I still can do it. I'm better than what I used to be.
Yep. Zeb Weiss is currently fifth in points. Corey Eliason was eighth in points.
Yeah, Corey just had a bad start to his year. I mean, he went through the billboards at East Bay at the, you know, first or second race of the year, and after that, it just kind of went downhill for him. And mm-hmm. you know, it's just unfortunate that he you know, he had that happen. But you know, maybe he went to Knoxville and ran Bernie's car and ran third, I think. So, you know, I think maybe it might open a door for a better opportunity for him this year, next year.
Yeah. Caleb says, I like Marks and Macri over the All-Star field at Lernerville. Those are pretty two good picks right there.
Yeah, I mean, we can't bet
Brent
against
Marks
those two
is the
right
hottest
now.
Driver in the country right now. Wouldn't you agree?
He is.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Steve Post is going to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be back with more with the host of Wing Nation and the lead pit reporter for MRN, Steve Post, when we return. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show, thanks to our friends over at Sage Fruit, is Steve Post, the postman. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm fantastic, Scott. Just surviving the July heat here in North Carolina. Man, it's bad.
How hot is it down there today?
Right now, we're at about 95 degrees. I don't know what the humidity is, but it's high. And they're saying 3 or 4 more days of this before we get down into the mid-80s again. So, yeah, it's summertime in the Carolinas.
Well, and it's about the same right here. I think it's probably about 91, 92 degrees outside right now, and it's not even noon yet. So, and you hate it for the promoters that are promoting races at this time of the year because – as I've spoken many a times, at the start of the year and at the end of the year is where the promoters make their money. When it gets to the heat of the summer, like what we have now, this is where the promoters struggle a little bit, isn't it?
Well, and then there's a couple other factors in this, and I agree with you. It's a tough time of the year.
Yeah.
You throw in two other factors. You throw in fuel prices, gas prices.
Mm-hmm.
That's not helping anybody this year. And then the other thing that I think is a factor when it comes to this heat and hot weather and any kind of weather really is pay-per-view. I mean, am I going to go out and sweat at a racetrack, or am I going to sit in the comfort of my man cave in my home, my living room, in my air conditioning, and watch it all on Flow or Dirt Vision or whatever your choice is, you know? I mean, and I think that there was an equation, and I think your equation this time of year is tougher to make it work. You got to get your money in the spring. You got to get your money in the fall. And I think that equation gets a little bit tougher this year with pay-per-view and then with fuel prices as well. So I don't envy promoters out there running races this time of year. It's tough sledding for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. We got to talk a little bit about Speed Week. Brent Marks, man, is that guy like the hottest driver in the country right now?
Well, he really is. And when you look back at it, you know, we've spent a lot of time focusing on the 9 races that were Pennsylvania Speed Week, the 5 wins that he had, the 2 second place, the 2 third places. But let's go back the week before that.
Mm-hmm.
He went into Ohio Speed Week with the All-Stars. He had 2 third place finishes, and he won at Portsmouth. The week before that, he was with the World of Outlaws at Knoxville, and he picked up the Friday night win with the World of Outlaws.
Right.
So when you look at it, I think it's awful tough to argue right now that he's not the toughest driver. The great part about this is, Scott, in about the next 10 or 12 days, we're really going to learn a lot about how he stacks up against the rest of the world. Starts tonight with the Silver Cup at Lernerville. It's an all-star race.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how he fares against the all-star guys there at Lernerville. And then next week, the Brad Doty Classic. the historical big one, the Kings Royal, tracks where Brett is Eldora is a track where Brett is very, very good, by the way. We're going to really know the answer on how good he is. And, boy, if he's as good as we think he is, whoever is in charge of the first bank and trust in Myerstown better get ready for a big deposit, because that cat's fixing to win some money if he can keep the pace he's going at.
There's a lot of guys that you can look at and think about. You know, Brent Marks is one. Macri is another guy. Rico, he looked really fast here just last week. There's a handful of guys that you can look at and say they might have a chance to win at Lernerville, right?
Yeah, to me, Lernerville is really fascinating tonight, because I actually think that there's three groups that you can look at where the winner comes from, which represents the whole field pretty much.
Right.
I think you can look at the historic Central Pennsylvania posse. You look at Anthony Macri. You look at Brett Marks. You maybe look at Logan Wagner if he's coming over and going to race with them.
True.
And see what he does. Then maybe there's another category, because I think Rico kind of stands alone wherever he's at in the mix there. Mm-hmm. So when you look at Central Pennsylvania, you look really good. When you look at the All-Stars, Hunter Schoenberg won the last race that they had there. The All-Stars did. Justin Peck is so good. Tyler Courtney is so good. Zeb Wise still has a few more races in the 10 car before he moves over to the 26. So I know they're going to be anxious to see if they can cash a $25,000 check for that team. And so I think they're good. But a group that I think we really need to keep an eye on, and it could be a factor, is the hometown racers.
Mm-hmm.
The racer there, A.J. Flick, has won multiple races since the 1st of June. He's been on fire. He's won six or seven races at Lernerville and other tracks in the area. Last week it was Cy Lynch picking up the win. Of course, he's the son of veteran and legendary Ed Lynch Jr., and Cy Lynch has seemed to pick up his pace. And Cy Lynch is one of those guys that 2 years ago or last year, he was quick time with the World of Outlaws there. So I really think it's an interesting dynamic at Lernerville, because it's no longer a World of Outlaws sanctioned race. So we lose the Sheldons and the Carson Macedos and the Donnie Schatz and the Brad Sweets. We lose those guys, the David Gravels. But I think to some degree it maybe opens up the field a little bit more to a wide variety of others, unless someone like Brent Marks just goes in and stinks everything up. But
I
think it's really fascinating when we look at tonight, and then we look at where they're at with Lernerville tonight. I am anxious to watch this race and see who steps up and gets that big $25,000 check.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm looking forward to tonight as well. I'm also looking equally as forward to watching the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series tonight. I'm kind of ate up on the live streaming here with all these TVs. Just kind of like hanging out in my studio, watching the races. And I never thought in a million years, Steve, that I would get satisfaction out of sitting in my studio and watching my TVs and watching all these races. And that brings me up to the next subject right now. The big agreement between MAV TV and Flow. Did that catch you off guard a little bit?
No, it did. I mean, if I listen to a podcast, Justin Fiedler does a great podcast, does a daily podcast on short track racing and everything. And he had speculated about 10 days earlier that this might happening and be coming down the pike. And I guess 2 weeks ago, all of the MAV stuff streamed on Flow. So there were some hints about it. Now, prior to that, yeah. But Scott, I think we're at a point now with all of the streaming where I think there needs to be a sorting process. And quite honestly, this goes back to last year. You know, Racing Boys, one of the pioneers, which you guys did in the streaming business, one of the pioneers, but the landscape changed. Different people came in, different people went out. Your life changed as well. Your energy level changed.
Yep.
Where you were at with your life and what you wanted out of your life. And so I think a lot of things have changed, and I think what that means is we're probably in a little paring down season of some of the options. And I think the MAV TV Plus was kind of the I don't know if I say it with the weak link, but it was certainly ready to be had, and Flow Sports was able to come in and gobble it up. So, you know, that kind of leaves us with whatever that XR series is with super late models, and they've got all the North Wilkesboro races. I think on the dirt side you've got them, and now we're down kind of the Flow and Dirt Vision. Speed Sport TV has a lot of individual tracks, you know, that works pockets here, pockets there.
Yep.
And it's just kind of where we're at on the asphalt side. you know, you've got Motorsports America still doing a fair number of races. So, but I think a paring down is, I think a paring down is natural when you have an explosion like we've had in the last 5 years of streaming services.
Well, all I can tell you is, Steve, that I lost my drive to running up and down the road. And, you know, after 13 years of chasing the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, 16 years of doing the Chili Bowl, and at my age, to be honest with you, I'm 62 years old right now, I really have always wanted to do this daily podcast. And I thought to myself, if I'm going to do it, I've got to do it now, or I'm going to get too old, and I won't want to do it when I get a little bit older. And, you know, I just felt like the time was right to get out. And it worked out perfect for Racing Boys. And I say this only because you look at the price of gas. You look at the price of diesel, because we have a diesel motorhome. You look at it, the cost of motel rooms, the cost of cameramen, the flow, and I'm not kicking flow, because I like those guys over there. We had Michael Rigsby on with us here just recently. The problem with that is that they've started to pay these cameramen probably twice as much as what we used to pay them. And so between the price of the cameraman, $425 a night, the price of fuel, the price of motel rooms, I think I got out just at the right time. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think you did, and I think that, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know, faith, whatever you want to call it, it played into your favor, because simultaneously with this cost explosion, your drive went away, and it probably saved you from yourself. You know, I mean, because I also know about you, Scott, when you put your mind to something, you go right head force into it. And you'd have been scratching and clawing on this thing with cameraman and diesel fuel prices and everything else. And so, you know, and I think there's various reasons for this. I think in your situation, Racing Boys was you and Kirk, a more of a family-run operation, family-run streaming service.
No doubt.
Even guys like Kurt or Austin or people who are not necessarily family or kin folks are family with you guys. And and you got to a certain point in life and you know, getting married and home became, you know, a great spot for you to be hanging out at. And all of that happened, and it'll put you in a spot, and then you were able to make the move that you were able to make. And then, oh, by the way, this Mostly Motorsports idea you had in the back of your mind, and I agree, the time to jump at it is now, when short track racing is as hot as it is. Now is the time to be doing this. And so I think it did pan out well for you. I think the timing worked out well, and I think that it just really did. And you can pursue this, and you can chase this around. And then, you know, I'm like you. I never thought that. I mean, Monday night I was watching the Southern All-Star Dirt Late Models up at Beckley, West Virginia. You know, tonight I also going to be watching the Lucas Oil Late Models as well as the All-Stars. And I love getting out at the racetrack. And granted, I'm blessed with MRN in that, you know, that I jump on a plane and I go to places and I, you know, I'm at a hotel 20 minutes from a different racetrack and I get to do all of this and do all of that. But, you know, we're spoiled rotten with what we have with all of this pay-per-view service. And you know, now this week there's one less than there was this time last week. With Mav Plus now merging into Flow Racing. But I'm like you, man. I'll tell you what, I can sit around and watch this stuff an awful lot, that's for sure.
Yeah. Steve, I'm so impressed by the quantity. What did you tell me? Or maybe you said it on the air the other day. Have you went to 81 races so far this year?
Well, last night I was at 86.
86.
Was Charlotte Motor Speedway. The summer shootout was number 86. Yeah, I'm having a pretty good year as far as racing goes. But I went to 142 or 146 or something like that last year, and I'm actually trending ahead of that, which I didn't think I was. But, you know, here's the reality of it. And, you know, people are like, man, you've lost your mind or anything. But, you know, the reality of it is 25 are cup races. That is my full-time job, okay?
Right.
Add another 25 Saturday shows, whether they're trucks or whether there's, you know, whether there's Xfinity. Okay, then you add in probably another 15 Friday shows, whether it's trucks or ARCA or whatever it is. So, you know, I'm at 65 with MRN Pit Road reporting.
Mm.
You know, I have 10 races with the summer shootout that I do. So there's 75. I'll end up at Millbridge on Tuesday nights when I'm not doing summer shootout. I'll end up with 10 or 12 there. there's 85. You know, I do some pay-per-view for Pit Road TV down here. You know, pick up another five or six there. You throw in the Wing Nation races. We were up at Husitz. We were up at Port Royal. We're going to the Knoxville Nationals. I'm probably going out to California for a weekend of racing. And so getting to triple digits with what I do is very doable. It's very manageable. It's where I get a little crazy in the middle of the week and go pull one out somewhere. That's where it gets a little crazy. But I still enjoy it, and I'm doing it now, Scott. I know, and you and I have talked about this. We just talked about it on the air, and you and I have talked off the air. There's going to be a point where my life and my world says, okay, pal, time to slow down.
Yeah.
And that's probably not too far down the road. And so I want to see a lot of this stuff now. I want to enjoy it. I want to take it in. I have a lot of friends in a lot of these places I go to. It's great to catch up with friends and acquaintances. And right now it's working for me. And I'm still working on it. That's for sure.
You know, the one thing that I miss more than anything, Steve, and I say this all the time, is the people that I've met traveling up and down the road. That, you know, I don't miss doing the work. I don't miss going in, setting up, making sure everything works, make sure the broadcast is good. I don't miss any of that. But what I do miss is the people that you meet on the road. And that's the hardest thing about getting off the road, is not being around the people that you've been around for all those years. And that's the most difficult part, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And that's the bond that racing brings between us. And that doesn't matter where you're at. That doesn't matter what level you're at.
Right.
That doesn't matter. I mean, I've had this conversation heard Trevor Bayne talk about this. You know, he stepped out of the NASCAR garage, and you're out of sight, you're out of mind. I talk to old mechanics. You know, the nature of mechanics in NASCAR racing is you work on the road, you're a road dog, you're a road dog, you're a road dog. And if you play it right and you play it wisely, then you become a shop foreman, you
right.
know, or someone back at the shop. And you talk to every one of those people. And the reason I know this is I talk to him at Charlotte Motor Speedway or Martinsville or Darlington, races where they can drive to, and they're like, no, I'm not doing anything here. Mm-hmm. I just come down to catch up with everybody in the garage area, the people mm-hmm. that we traveled up and down the road with. It's the same with NASCAR. It's the same with every form of motorsports. Get out of that garage area for a little while, and it's out of sight, out of mind, and it's our core group. It's our social group. It's the people.
Yeah.
We have the bond of motorsports, and we love hanging out. So and that's what it is. That's, you know, I'm going this coming Saturday night. I'm going to jump in the car and just drive the hour up the road to Winston-Salem, to Bowman Gray, just to watch another group of friends race. And
wow.
I enjoy doing it, catching up with some people and doing that. And I just it is the people is what this business is. It all boils down to the people, and that's the fun part about it. Face it, people listening and watching Mostly Motorsports right now, you might have your regular track, and you go there and you sit near the same people. If you work on a team, you pit near the same people. And,
right.
yeah, sometimes those people annoy you. Sometimes they'll frustrate you. But if something happens to one of them, or they disappear for a few weeks, or you were to disappear for a few weeks,
right.
it'd be like, where's that person at? What's it at? It's a family. It's that bond we have in motorsports. And it's one of the great aspects of it. But it gets challenging in a spot like yours where you're off the road and missing the people. It's totally understandable, though.
Oh, man, it's been a little tough. That's the part that I miss the most. It's just the people. So, hey, I got to talk a little bit of NASCAR. How about Noah Gragson, man? He took out 13 cars the other day. What did you think of that incident with him?
Well, I'm always one because the next time I strap into a race car will be the first time I strap into a race car. So I'm never one to really kind of – I always kind of tamper what I say as far as drivers because I've never been in that spot.
Right.
But and this is why I'm glad we're talking about this Wednesday and not Saturday. Saturday, but Wednesday, we're listening to other drivers. We're listening to his team owner, for Pete's sake. He went over the edge on this one.
Yeah.
And so consequently, it's going to be interesting to see. I find NASCAR really, really, really works hard at not over officiating it as far as driving goes. Mm-hmm. There's speculation that there might still be something coming down the pike. We'll have to see. He certainly didn't endear himself to his team owner. you know, Dale Jr.'s comments on Sirius this morning, where I'll stand behind him on a lot of things, but I cannot stand behind you on this,
right?
This move, and I think this started right after the accident. Okay, one of the absolute, and it gets into collateral damage. And I heard you guys talking about this beforehand. One of the absolute most upstanding guys in the Xfinity Series garage is Tommy Joe Martins, who is he drives occasionally, and he is the team owner of the car that Sage Karam was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy Joe Martins just went, he went on social media, and I'm generally not a fan of that, but I think it set the tone. It was like, Dale, Kelly, are you supporting this? You know, there's a lot of us teams with a lot of wounded race cars headed back to North Carolina. And I think really where that got serious is if, Scott, if you and I get out there racing on the track and we want to have a mix-up and, shoot, if we want to wreck each other, if we want to get out and punch each other in the nose, that's fine.
Right.
But it's when it catches other people and the nature of Road America, the narrowness of it, where he did that in one of the most narrow, high-speed areas where there are no spotters, I think there comes a point where you might be pissed off, but you do have to think. And I think this is where Noah went over the edge on this one. And he's got some work to do. We don't know if there's any penalties coming from NASCAR or not. But he's got some work to do in the garage area with his fellow competitors. He's got some work to do with his owner, you know, to kind of soothe things over there and not put Dale Jr. in a bad spot. And so to answer your question, after reviewing all of this and listening to people who have been in the driver's seats, he went over the edge on this one. And whether it's the dust up itself or the location, but I think the collateral damage with all the wadded up race cars, I think it's all right to retaliate, but you got to make sure you don't bring a whole bunch of other people into it. And he did.
Weren't you a little surprised by the honesty of Dale Jr. this morning on Sirius Satellite Radio?
No, I'll tell you one thing I learned, when I look at the history of our sport,
mm-hmm.
okay, and all of the things that happened, one of the people that I felt sorry for at a time in his life was Dale Earnhardt Jr. when the DEI thing was going wheels up or toes up.
Yep.
Because you knew that him and his stepmother did not get along.
Right.
Teresa did not get along. There was all kinds of problems. And here's why I felt bad for Dale Jr. The boy can't lie. I mean, he's not a good liar.
Right.
I mean, he just is pretty honest about everything. And so when you would ask about the team situation, he was awkward. He was uncomfortable. He said the things he needed to say, and you knew 100% it was just words coming out of his mouth. And so I look at that era of his life. He can't lie. You know, Rick Hendrick came in, saved the day, gave him a ride, gave him something he could go forward on, win races, boom, boom, boom. It all turned out well for him. But I think when I look at this morning, the boy just can't lie. You know, and so I'm not really surprised, as candid as he was on Sirius. I think that he's pretty stand up. I don't think he's a good liar. I think he's a guy that will, you know, in most instances, like this morning, tell you where he's at with it. And I think that's the candor that we got. And I think that's part of what's endearing to Dale Earnhardt Jr. as well. I mean, you know, there are part of his fans base that was his daddy's fans. There's not as many of those now because he doesn't wreck a lot of people, or he didn't wreck a lot of people racing.
Right.
Junior's created and carved out his own fans, and it's just a lot of it is this authenticity that comes through in moments like this and many other over the course of his life, for sure.
I think the part that disturbs me the most about it, and it's happened to me, at Memphis Motorsports Park one time in a super truck race down there, when you get hooked going down the straightaway, when somebody gets you in the right rear and spins you around, and you pound the wall. Me personally, I pounded the wall with the driver's side of my truck, probably running about 130 miles an hour. And that really hurt at my age because I was 49 at the time. I think most people are upset with the hook, because in a racer's world, we all know that is a no-no when you hook somebody going down the straightaway, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You give a shot in the ass going down in the corner. You know, or maybe even door slam them as you work through a corner or slide up the racetrack. You know, eight tires are better than four. But the hooking someone on a straightaway has never been an acceptable move, and it wasn't an acceptable move on Saturday. You know, I mean, yeah. it just puts the driver, and I understand you're pissed off at the guy and you don't really care about it, but it puts him in a bad spot. And then when you look at a straightaway where everyone is bearing down, it puts a lot of other people in a bad spot as well. And, right. I think that's a lot of the area that Noah Gregson has stepped over the line on this one with.
I've got a question from Caleb. He's on our chat room. He wants to know, do you have any thoughts on the World of Outlaw official and the Tony Stewart Racing crew member?
Well, it wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
And then not knowing what transpired.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good look, that's for sure. I don't think you can have officials attacking crew members. Now, granted, there might have been a verbal attack prior to that, and maybe there was a physical confrontation prior to that we didn't see, and I know the World of Outlaws are doing a review on it, but what we saw looked really, really bad. You know, now, did we see it all is the question that I have, and I'm assuming that the World of Outlaws are reviewing it, but what we saw was not a good look when you have an official just walking in to the hot work area. You
right.
got crew members working on the car and the official getting into a physical confrontation. From what we saw, it's not good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious as to, was there a physical altercation before that? I don't know if that justifies it. What was said? I saw some people say what was said. If you're an official, and I know we live in different times now,
right.
Scott, you know, when I grew up, it was sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Yep.
I mean, I know we don't live in that era anymore,
right.
But I think when you're an official, you probably got to adopt that mindset and know that, you know, you might get cussed out as an official. I was a former track announcer and PR guy, and I've been cussed out at racetracks, and it's just, well, whatever it is, you know. I mean, from what we saw, it was not a good look for that World of Outlaw official. I'll be curious if there was anything we missed, but what we saw, it was not a good look. And my feel is if what we saw is about all of the action and all, or about all of it, if there was nothing that we missed that happened before that, then maybe officiating isn't, or at least officiating in the pits, is not where this person is best suited to work.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe there's a job in the tower with scoring. Maybe there's, you know, some other position that you can do if you want to be involved in the sport. But dealing with heat of the pressure moments of crew guys, you probably got to let some things roll off your shoulders.
You've got to have thick skin. I say that all the time. If you're in talk radio, or if you're an official, you're gonna get your ear chewed on a little bit once in a while, right? And you just got to have that thick skin, and you've got to be able to not let it penetrate your feelings. And I think that's what happened there the other night.
Looked like it to me, that's
yep.
for sure,
yep.
and that's unacceptable. If that is all that happened was what we saw, then that's unacceptable, that's for sure.
Yeah. Steve, what do you got coming up? What are you going to be doing on Wing Nation? I know that I was just watching it this morning behind me. What do you got coming up on the show?
Well, what we did is on the show that we just dropped yesterday, we had Hunter Schoenberg kind of previewing Lernerville a little bit and kind of recapping his season. And we talked to Brock Zierfoss. Man, what a great win Saturday night for Brock Zierfoss. Wow. You know, man, you talk about getting your teeth kicked in on a regular basis. That old boy's been getting his teeth kicked in for about the last 5 years. And finally he was able to put the boots on and give a little of it back. And so we had Brock Zierfoss and Hunter Schoenberg. That was on our show that was yesterday. You can find it on one of our Wing Nation channels. When it comes to this weekend show, we go out west. We talk to one of our favorites, Tim Kading.
Oh, wow.
We got him early morning, too, 7 a.m. West Coast time before he was going to work. He's a pool boy out there. Had a really good visit with Tim Kading about racing. He's had a rough season, although he did pick up a win on a prelim night at Skagit. He was out of the car a little bit with an injury. He's out being a dad. He dared to utter the word responsible to us. That's a little preview. Something I never thought Tim Kading would use is the word responsible. And just great, great visit with TK. That's on our show. That's on Rev TV in Canada tonight. And then that's on MAV TV Friday night and Saturday morning. So lots going on Wing Nation, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was happy to see that for Brock as well. That was his first World of Outlaw win. Was it 5 years, I think it was? That's what they said, 5 years it'd been.
Yeah, it was 2017 he won the Summer Nationals at Williams Grove. At that time, he was Pennsylvania Posse. So he beat the Outlaws as a Posse guy. It's been nearly 5 years. It'll be 5 years later this month, it would have been. And this is his first win as a World of Outlaw regular. He's been on the tour now for the last 2 years. So really, really big win for him. You know, Scott, going back to a couple weeks ago, Skagit, he had all three top 10 finishes, and they did the first two nights, the top four locked in. He was one of the top four. So I think we're seeing a little bit of speed out of Brock Zierfoss, and we'll see how it translates as we get into the month of money with the World of Outlaws.
Yeah. Steve, I always appreciate you taking the time on Wednesdays. Again, your appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing you to come over here and be a part of the show. Thanks so much, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
Sounds good, Scott. Hey, I want to do one real quick plug.
Sure.
We're starting a new project. You ain't going to believe this, Scott.
I'm
going to be cooking on the internet.
What?
Sage Fruit, we're doing a show, and we're doing a live Q&A chat at 3 Eastern time today in about an hour on the Sage Fruit Facebook page, but we're actually going to start doing a little bit of a cooking show. How about that? I didn't have enough going on with chasing racing around 86 times a year. We're going to launch that with a Q&A session today. So it'll be on all your internet Facebook lives is where it'll be on Sage Fruit. So
I
appreciate getting the plug on that. They're great people. And I love that they give us a chance to talk racing like this. And now I'm going to try the culinary skills as well.
I didn't know you were a chef.
I'm not a chef, but I love playing in the kitchen. And so we're going to share a little bit of that over, I think, the next 10 weeks is what we're doing.
All right. And again, tell everybody the time and where they can find that again one more time for us.
Yeah, it's the Sage Fruit Facebook page, and we're doing a live chat. We're not cooking this week. We're just doing a live chat introducing the whole project at 3 Eastern time today. So if you're listening to Mostly Motorsports Live about an hour from now, if you come back and you catch Mostly Motorsports and you miss us, well, you can go back on the Sage Fruit Facebook page, and we're doing that coming up in about an hour. So looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun project for sure.
I'll be tuning in, Steve. Thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Scott. Love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. All right. Man, we took up a good portion of the show right there, didn't we, Austin? We are just about out of time, so we better not take a break, right? We better just roll on. Anything interesting out of that conversation with Steve that you thought was interesting, Austin? Give me some feedback. What did you think was the most interesting topic with Post?
That Tim Kading's a pool boy.
I didn't know that.
I did not expect to see that out of TK, but no, I mean, that was a good interview with Steve. Got his, you know, his perspective. At least, you know, we're all kind of on the same page with Noah Gragson and his situation. But yeah, I mean, he's in a situation he probably doesn't want to be in right now.
Caleb just posted up Fayette County Speedway, Brownsville, Illinois, closed for at least the rest of the year, future uncertain. There's another one going down right there. Gosh, I hate that. I hate it when racetracks have to close, especially if they've been around for a while. All right, I want to remind everybody that they've got the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame has the tribute to Ascot Park going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. They've got all kinds of videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. And that exhibit is going to be going on through October 1st. So get up there and check it out. They've got 7, 8, 9 cars up there. A great display and a great tribute to Ascot Park. And don't forget, they still have the raffle going on for the sprint car, the 2022 XXX chassis with It's a 410, complete 410 race car. And if you're not a race team and you win it, you could sell it, make you some money. They're going to be doing that drawing on December 16th during the Knoxville Nationals. So don't forget about that. And also, don't forget about the raffle for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they're going to draw on Saturday, August 13th through the Knoxville Nationals. It's one of 1,000 Corvettes that were made. It's just a great visit. I'm telling you, folks, if you've not been to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you have to get up there and see it. There's nothing like it. The only thing that compares to it is Speedy Bill's Museum up there in Omaha. So it's the only thing that I'd like to go see is the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, Speedy Bill's Museum up there in Omaha as well. So check it out. Get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Check out the tribute to Ascot Park. It is a great tribute. Again, it's going to be going on through October 1st. Get up there and check it out. And if you get up there and you run into Bob Baker, make sure you tell him the Racing Boys told you to get up there and see everything that's going on. All right, for Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott. Oh, hold on one second. I got to say, give a shout out to my friend Ben in Australia. You see this Speedway book that he sent me? Ben, thanks so much, buddy. This is a fantastic read. This book is brought to you by Methanol Moonshine. We all know about Methanol Moonshine. It's an insight to the culture and community of dirt track racing. This is a great book, folks. If you can get your hands on one of these, the pictures and the editorial part of this book is fantastic. So check it out. Ben, thank you so much for sending this to me, my friend. I appreciate it. My buddy over in Australia sent it to me. So anyway, that is all we have. Thanks again for tuning in. For Austin, for Kirk, I'm Scott. We'll see you tomorrow at 12 noon Central Time right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.